That's a good question, Ryan. I'm glad you're attacking that. Should the bottle law go away? Has it been? Oh, look, there's my baseball logo and my Red Wings logo, my Detroit Tigers, and my anyway. I just wonder if it has done what it was supposed to do. It was supposed to make people not be throwing their bottles out of their car in the trash. It's unbelievable that we used to do that. People used to throw their trash out, magically thinking it would go away. Whatever. But I don't know, Mr. Parsons, do you like the bottle law? Do you think we should keep it?
You'll have
to pay money on it?
I loved it when I was a kid because that's how I'd make all my extra money. But now I just give my bottles to my father-in-law. So for his sake, I hope it sticks around.
What a nice guy you are, taking care of your father-in-law one nickel at a time or dime.
Spend it all in one place.
Yeah, you're very thoughtful. All right, a little levity. We do our best, but it's not easy to have relentless positive radio at a time like this. I mean, we are at war. And as I mentioned a moment ago, it's astonishing to me, but not really, that the news media keeps from us things like what I pointed out, that the day before the strike, the first strike, a CBS News YouGovernment poll found 51% of respondents said they would favor U.S. military action against Iran. 51% the day before. That's not seen anywhere, but you heard it here, my friends, because we are observers and we try to spread the truth. We welcome our friend Aron Levin, freelance journalist. He was born in Israel. Yes, he's a supporter of Israel. He served in the Israeli military with his wife Adina, who was an officer. And he's here now. He was reaching out to me over the weekend to talk about this massive military strike against Iran that started over the weekend and continues today. Daron, nice to be with you. Sorry it's under these circumstances in war, but anybody paying attention knew that this was inevitable, right?
Yeah, I wish we had better circumstances and a happier subject to talk about, maybe the bottle law or whatever, but we got to talk about this now because what's happening now is very, very dangerous for the world, but very positive for putting to bed a regime and a country that was basically dedicated for the last half century to sponsor terror around the world. And they've got blood on their hands, the blood of American service personnel in the Middle East and actually all over the world. And I'm really grateful as an Israeli, but also as an American, that the government has decided finally to move against the regime in Tehran. And when you really think about what's at stake here, it's not only about stopping state-sponsored terrorism. It's also about the human potential for peace in the Middle East, which is very, very difficult to achieve when you have a country like Iran doing what it was doing. This is a potentially magnificent country with lots of energy resources, with lots of human resources, with a brilliant civilization behind it. And it's just a shame that it's been devoted to building nuclear weapons and building ballistic missiles and murdering people. And that has to stop.
And murdering people is something they've been doing since the Islamists took over. Since this Khomeini, and that's how we used to pronounce it, so I still pronounce it, the Ayatollah, all of these years he's been in his position, he has led bloodshed around the world, and much of it aimed at America. And I don't know that, I don't think people remember Persia, because that's what Iran was before it was stolen, taken over by the Islamists. They changed the flag. They changed the people. Women flourished when it was Persian. Now women can't do anything, which was why they brilliantly said the first thing we hit was a girl school. You'd be hard-pressed to find a girl school in Iran because they're not allowed to be educated. But don't even get me started on that. The fact of the matter is, we don't need an excuse to attack these monsters. They could have been attacked in the last 5, 10, 20 years, and reasonably, it would have reasonably made sense to do away with this Ayatollah Khomeini. period. 40 Iranian medical workers describe a massacre. It's in the New York Times, who's against the president and against the war. This is not just the worst mass killing in the contemporary history of Iran. It is one of the worst mass killings in contemporary world history. It's appropriate you're on the line right now because I'll say Holocaust. And all of us around now who weren't around then say, we would never let that happen. Well, we were letting it happen in Iran. Thousands and thousands and thousands of Iranians were being killed by this monster. And it continued to happen. And we allowed it to happen until this weekend that stopped.
And you have to, if you really have to wonder about a regime that would put to death 30,000 of its own people. That's kind of the rough count of the people who were protesting what was going on and were gunned down by the IRGC and by the Bajis. And it's unbelievable that a regime would do this. And then did you hear a peep from around the world of people protesting this? No, nobody seemed to care about these 30,000 Iranians who were trying to agitate for a new regime, a new future, and were murdered in cold blood by their own government. And nothing was said, nothing was done. And I give the president all the honor and glory in the world for stepping up to do this.
Now, is it a constitutional mandate that a president of the United States has to go and ask Congress's permission? I don't exactly know how that works.
It's really a very tricky kind of a requirement. But I heard Dave McCormick, the Republican senator from Pennsylvania, talking about it, and he and the others in Congress are satisfied that the requirements were met. I don't think that a president can start a war for no reason at all out of the clear blue sky. But when there's an imminent threat, such as a population that's being decimated, or an atomic weapon that's being put together, or a country like Iran that has blood on its hands from countless U.S. service personnel who were killed and maimed by IEDs, then I think the president has lots of latitude to do what he wants to do. And you've heard this really from both sides of the aisle, from the Republicans and the Democrats. Now, of course, there are left-wing progressives who are going to oppose this, but fortunately, they're in the small minority.
Maybe I feel so strongly about this because the morning that we were supposed to have ABC's Bob Woodward on my morning show, he couldn't make the call. And we thought, well, I hope he's okay. He wasn't okay. He was almost killed by a roadside bomb, and it has Iran's initials all over it. So when you know somebody who personally was almost killed by the work of this madman, maybe you don't feel the same way. Maybe you applaud taking this guy out a little louder than the usual person. But you're right about those who will be against it. They're against it, many of them, because it's President Donald Trump. And so there's nothing he can do that's right. And that's unfortunate. And it shouldn't get in the way. Here's my other feeling, Daron, for people to question these things. We're at war. Our men and women are in harm's way right now. Now's not the time for all of us to be divided and to argue about it. Now's the time to support our fighting men and women to the fullest, to bring them back as quickly as possible, as safely as we can. We've already lost 4, and there will be more. Anyway, Daron.
I think that the majority of your audience agrees with you, Paul. And don't forget, we've been fighting this battle for a long, long time. It goes back even further than 9/11. There has been this extremist ideology that spread all over the world, that spread to Venezuela, that spread to our hemisphere, that even exists within our own borders, and it's dangerous. And why we have a government that is tasked to make sure that this doesn't spread and it doesn't grow larger and it doesn't grow more dangerous. And thank heavens, thank God that we have people who are willing to sacrifice, because without freedom, without sacrifice, there is no freedom.
Doron Levin, best to you and Adina.
Thank you, Paul.
I pray we get through this as easily, as quickly as we can, and
that the people
of Iran get another chance that maybe they had given up on and thought they weren't going to get. Now maybe they'll get it. And I also pray they'll make some proper good decisions for their own futures.
We'll talk again, Doron. Yep, absolutely. Thank you.
We continue in focus at WJR.